What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 123 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. First off, apologies again for this one being late. We've been out chasing turkeys and staying pretty busy with that, and between that in the mornings and then work the rest of the day and everything else we got going on, it's just pushed this episode back. But we got a good one for you. I think it'll be worth the wait. We've got Cody Johnson on from the Thin Blue Line Outdoors. If you guys haven't heard of them, you need to go check them out. I'll put links in the description where you guys can do that. Basically, they're a group that's getting first responders in the outdoors. These guys are doing good things over there. They've got a YouTube channel that they've been doing for a few years now. Cody's kind of head of everything over there. He's going to tell you all about it on this episode, what they got coming up, kind of where they came from, what their mission is. We got into a lot of different stuff within that conversation as well. So I think it's a really good episode for you guys. I think you'll enjoy it. He's one of our favorite guys to talk to. We see him at all the shows. We met him, I guess, almost a year ago now at the Illinois Deer and Beer Fest last August, and we've kind of just hit it off. We've been friends ever since. We were right there by their booth. We talked to him all weekend, and then, of course, they were at the Iowa show this year. We got to see him there and have a meal with him, and same thing at the Illinois Deer Classic. We got to see him there as well. So we always enjoy talking to these guys. I think you guys are going to like them also. So let's get into episode number 123 with Cody Johnson from the Thin Blue Line Outdoors. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Okay, we got Cody Johnson on from the Thin Blue Line Outdoors. He kind of runs the joint. Now, if you ask Nate, he might have something else to say about that. But as far as I'm concerned, Cody's running the place.
Definitely the brains of the outfit.
Yeah.
So we got him on here with us tonight. You guys have probably seen us, you know, with them on social media interacting and stuff. They're great dudes, and we're happy to have you on. This is the first time you've been on the podcast. I mean, did we first meet in the Deer and Beer Fest 2 years ago?
No, it would have been last year. It would have been last year. So it was our first time being there.
That was the 23 show then?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Cool.
Yep. I know we kind of joked about they put the firefighters and cops next to each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't know. I couldn't remember if that was 2 years ago or last year, but I'm still sure that they did that on purpose.
Yeah, I would agree.
how could that be an accident, right?
I know, right?
Yeah. So we're going to get into everything you got going on at the Thin Blue Line, how you guys got started, and then we'll work our way up to today and everything you got coming up. So let's go. First of all, let's just tell everybody that maybe isn't familiar with it, our listeners anyway, what Thin Blue Line Outdoors is, what you guys are about, and then we'll go back and kind of how you came up with it.
Yep, sounds good. So Thin Blue Line Outdoors, our number one mission is to get other first responders into the outdoors. So kind of came across this naturally. To be honest with you, when I first started this YouTube social media brand, it was more about just sharing my hunts. And I was very fortunate growing up in the outdoors, grew up on the family farm, hunting, fishing, all that good stuff. And once I got hired on in law enforcement, I found that there's a lot of guys in my field that were either interested in getting into the outdoors, hunting, fishing, or they used to and just kind of stopped. So anyway, one thing led to another. I started taking guys out with me, started taking them out to my place. Luckily I own the family farm now, so I can take guys out here. And one thing led to another. We started filming it. I started having people reach out to me like, hey, I heard you got so-and-so into hunting. Hey, I want to look into hunt. And, one thing led to another, and we kind of ran with this brand then. And again, our number one goal is to get first responders into the outdoors. And that's whether we take them out or, we try to promote through social media and maybe get other first responders to meet up. And I'll be honest, we are very cop heavy. We do have a lot of cops on the team, and that's honestly, our first few guys that we've helped out have been law enforcement officers, but we also have, we have our local coroner on the team. We got firefighters, paramedics, correctional guards, a little bit of everybody, everybody in that first responder field.
For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. That's why one of the reasons that I like what you guys are doing, just because I know what your kind of overall mission is, and I think that's pretty cool. So let's go back then and all the way back to the beginning. Did it start out, did you start out doing this before you decided to start filming stuff, or was that always the goal? Did you start filming like at the beginning of it?
So I started filming at the very beginning of it. Okay. And at that time it was just going to be almost like my personal channel. And mm-hmm. I was trying to come up with a name, you know, what do we call it? And I'm like, well, I'm a cop and I don't plan on getting out of law enforcement anytime soon. So I'm like, well, we'll just go with the Thin Blue Line Outdoors. And, which, you know, hindsight, the way the direction this has went, I'm happy we went with that name.
Right.
Worked out well. But I started filming from the very beginning. Please do not go back and watch my first hunt on YouTube. Because I cringe when I look at my filming skills and editing skills back then.
Yeah.
I think everyone says that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. You got to start somewhere, though.
Ain't that the truth?
That's what I tell people all the time, too, and I don't want to cut you off, but, like, of course, we go into these shows and everything, I'm sure people ask you, too, like, hey, mm-hmm. how do I get started, or what do I do? It's like, just start. Whatever you got, yeah. you can do so much on a phone now that's passable if you have, like, if the content's good, you know what I mean? And
100%.
Just start somewhere and then roll with it and try to learn and get better as you go.
Yep, I can't agree more. Can't agree more.
So you started this out as your own thing, obviously, yep. And then you went with Thin Blue Line Outdoors, which, again, mm-hmm. has worked out well. There's a lot of brand recognition in that, even before really you guys got to the point you're at now.
Correct.
But when did you start bringing guys on? Was that pretty early on in the process?
Well, so we started filming. So I filmed pretty much everything in 2019. Mm-hmm. I launched the brand in 2020. And we had some bear hunts, deer hunts, and turkey hunts to get on the channel right off the bat. And this is where Nate comes into play. Mm-hmm. So I decided, you know, I just had a lot of local people, you know, oh, that's cool that you're doing this, blah, blah, blah. And I got some hats made. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm gonna like, hey, I'm going to give some hats out just for family and friends. And my good pal, Nate, I gave him one. He calls me up. Hey, Cody, I sold 10 of your hats. I need 10 hats. Like, Nate, I don't have 10 hats to sell. What are you talking about? And he goes, oh, you were not selling these? I'm like, no, I was not. And honestly, it just kind of steamrolled from there. I ordered a whole bunch of hats, sold everything I got, started working with our local t-shirt company, made some shirts, had a team member of mine, Kyle, he made my logo. One thing led to another. And then people were kind of asking, like, well, what's your goal with this? And to be honest with you, I didn't have a goal at that time. Like, this kind of snowballed out of my reach here. I don't know what mm-hmm. to do here. And, you know, we kind of, after talking with more first responders and then looking back at the people who go, hey, we want to help you, we need to be part of this. Well, I already had naturally done this without even trying to do it. You know, it wasn't like I dreamed up like, this is our goal. You know, we're going to, you know, I'm going to strategically take these guys out to grow my brand. No, I was naturally doing it already. And you know, I had about five guys right off the bat who they're my core group of guys. They do a lot of the social media reels and TikToks for me editing wise. And they're kind of my core group of guys. And they, we decided, hey, let's run with this and go with it. And yeah, one thing led to another, and it's been a blast so far.
Yeah. So you guys, I know you guys had a pretty good growth there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think like anybody, it's not like it takes off overnight, but correct. You guys, I mean, you've only been doing it for, well, I guess this is the fifth year if you started in 2019, right? You guys have had pretty good growth over the years.
Yeah, we're pretty happy with it. Obviously, we're not like social media giant or anything like that.
Right.
I will say this, we have a pretty good local following. That's mm-hmm. one thing I didn't kind of expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll be honest, that first year was rough. Like I said, we started like actually putting stuff out in 2020, right before COVID started. And that first year, you know, we were below 100 subscribers on YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second year, we took off I'm trying to think of what we had that year that really took off. I don't remember if that was the year of first time we went hog hunting or not.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, that second year we started getting momentum. And since then, it's just getting more and more momentum. I mean, we're still kind of riding that wave a little bit. I feel like we had a little bit plateaued there until we went to the Iowa Deer Classic this year. Because it was nice to actually meet some people who didn't know us.
Right.
Yeah, so, but when it comes to our local following, I'm really pumped. You know, we've done some charity events for some fallen officers and stuff around here, and it is kind of cool to see guys, you know, people wearing the brand and the logo. I will say, to go kind of off track a little bit, what's awkward is when I'm still a local officer here. That's my full-time job. And it is awkward when you go on a 911 call and then somebody's wearing your shirt.
That's what I was. I knew you were going there.
Yeah. That's happened twice now. Luckily, nobody's been the suspect.
I was going to say.
That's my next question. Would you really arrest somebody with your logo on? Or,
well,
can you change your shirt before I take you downtown?
Yeah.
He wouldn't want to. He wouldn't want to. Yeah, right? We would.
Yeah, wouldn't want to. By God, he would.
Yeah.
No, luckily, both times they were actually witnesses, so they were helping us out. So I'm like, okay, good.
Right.
Now, I did have a guy.
Don't let the defense attorney hear that.
Yeah, no kidding, right? No kidding. I did have one guy, though, like, man, we're dealing with him. He's a drunk. And he may listen to this, which he'll know exactly who I'm talking about.
Typical thin blue line guy.
Exactly. And anyway, I'm training our new guy, too. We got a brand new guy. I'm an FTO. I'm training him. And, you know, we just kind of got, like, gave him the riot. I kind of yelled at him a little bit. And as we were going to leave, he goes, "Hey, Officer Johnson." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Hey, man, I follow you guys on social media. I really like what you're doing. I love watching your hunts." And so now I'm walking out, and I got the new guy just staring at me with a big grin on his face. I'm like, well, now I feel bad.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been fun, though. It's been a good story.
That's a great story there.
Yeah. It's the local following thing is cool, too, because with just the podcast, when we started that, I wouldn't say we had a decent local following, right? But because people thought it was cool that there was local guys doing it. But once we started the actual full show this past fall, like, there's a ton of people around, it seems like, locally that are like, "Hey, man, really like watching the show. The show's cool. We've been watching, keeping up with you guys." And it's been really cool to see that. And I'm sure you've experienced that with, obviously, started mainly YouTube. So that was something that I thought was cool this past year of starting that is, obviously, building your following throughout the Midwest and the country, for that matter, but locally as well. It was cool to see that grow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we kind of did the opposite of you guys. Like, we started YouTube, like the vlogs and stuff first, and now we're just getting into the more the podcast game and stuff. Yeah, it's been fun, man. It's been a wild ride. We actually just picked up a new team member from Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin cop up there.
Sweet.
Just joined the team. Like, I had no idea a cop from Wisconsin be reaching out to me to join the team.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nuts that we're in three different states right now as team members. Mm-hmm. So slowly growing.
Yeah, and that helps your following too, because, you know, he knows guys, and then they're gonna tune in because they know him, and then they tell their friends about it, and that's how that works. I think you guys probably did it the right way of starting with YouTube and then going to the podcast. That's probably the smarter way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question for you, and because I think about this sometimes. So I started listening to podcasts back in, like, my senior year in college, which I feel like there wasn't
1994 or
2015.
Okay.
So I felt like even in 2015, there was not that many podcasts around. You know, and I obviously listened to, like, Joe Rogan and stuff. But then, like, there wasn't that many hunting podcasts around. And I even thought back then, man, I wish there was more. And I had thought about starting then. And, man, I wish, kicked myself in the butt that I didn't. Because the only people I really remember listening to hunting-wise, obviously Rogan got into hunting, but you had, like, Wired to Hunt guys, Working Class, Gritty did his, and then, like, Wired. Yeah, I think it said Wired to Hunt. Because Meat Eater didn't even get into it till later.
Right.
And looking back now, I'm like, man, could have been in that early game.
On the ground floor. Well, I mean, to some extent, it was. You look at those guys, and the ones that are the biggest in the podcasting game now are the ones that have been there since that time, and I think that has a lot to do with it. There wasn't as much around then, so they built a pretty good, loyal fan base just based on the fact that, I mean, and obviously they're good shows too. I'm not taking anything away from that. But just a lot based on the fact that there was, that's what was there. And then once you combine that with the good content that they're putting out, then people listen and they'll continue to listen. Even now that it's getting to be more flooded because the barrier to entry is very low. If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look them up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling the products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots. There's a difference between barrier to entry into just a podcast versus a quality podcast, I think, because then you're talking, putting in some time and effort into editing, into your equipment, and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like I said, there's so many of them out there now where it's tough to kind of separate yourself, I think, as a newer podcast. And and even when we started on it in 2022, like we went to a few shows that first year. And I remember, I think it may have been the first show we did. It was the first year they had the Deer and Beer Fest back was 2022. That's right. We were sitting by Luke Oswald from Publicly Challenged. And
yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, we weren't necessarily promoting the podcast yet at that time because we were doing more of the management consulting stuff at that particular show. And I remember being next to him, and he was like, hey, you guys listen to podcasts? You know how you do when people walk by? And, and the number of people that said they didn't just blew me away. And it seems like now, even just in the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, that number has of people who don't listen has gone way down. So there's still, like, the number of listeners has grown so much, even over the last couple of years.
Demographically, you can, if you're at them shows, you can look at and say, yeah, that guy does, that guy does. And then you're going to be right about 80% of the time, or at least we found that out. And, but the ones that do listen to podcasts, it's like, hey, you listen to podcasts? It's like, yeah, I'm always looking for more content. You know, well, there's content out there, but I think they're looking for more good content that they can listen to on a weekly basis or maybe maybe twice a week. And so they, you know, we talk to guys. Well, I weld for a living. I listen to podcasts all day long. Well, they're always looking for not content but good content. So the ceiling's still way up there.
Yep. No, I would agree with you guys 100%. I know it just, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people who start podcasts. There's been a couple podcasts I've listened to and they just quit, you know? Because I mean, as you guys know, a lot of people go, oh, find time to BS for an hour with your friends or with a, you know, some client or whatever. Like, oh, that should be easy to do. Well, it takes time, man. It takes time and education and it's hard.
Yep. And I mean, one of the biggest things that you don't really think about until you start trying to do it is lining up schedules because, I mean, everybody that you want to talk to is busy. Like if they're not busy, then they're not people you want to talk to, right? Because they don't have anything going on.
Exactly.
So everybody that you want to get on the show that either we want to talk to or that we think will be engaging for our audience, like they've got stuff going on. So now there are some, like, I mean, like you, for example, I feel like if I can catch you off work or something, like same way with me, like we could text each other and, hey, we could probably put one together tomorrow night. Austin from Tactical Approach is similar. Like there's guys like that who are still obviously good quality guests, but a lot of them that you want to get on that you think people will engage with or whatever, want to listen to, it's so hard to get schedules lined up between between everything 100%. They got going on, everything we got going on, just trying to find a night and a time that works. And I mean, that's why, for example, Nate, I don't remember the last time he's even been on one of our podcasts. And there for a while, it was just me, you know, with, of course, for during deer season for sure. And just like you said, the time and dedication and lining schedules up and making sure you stay at it. And we've missed a few over the last couple months just being busy with stuff, but it's getting stuff out there every week, every other week, something, you know, at least on some kind of consistent basis, that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything, you got to try to at least provide something, some kind of content for everybody. It seems mm-hmm. like at least once a week. But yeah, at the same time, it's got to be good content. Like,
yeah, it can't be crap. Okay.
So yeah, exactly. So I know I was in a similar boat today. This is my second podcast today because I had one of my sponsors, and not his fault. He was able to. He had a family thing come up, so he was supposed to be on my podcast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he backed out, so I'm like, crap, I need a podcast, and I drop my podcast on Wednesdays usually.
Yeah.
So luckily, I got my brother-in-law, who he's a local cop here as well, and we had some stuff we've been meaning to get on the podcast anyway. So anyway, he was able to come out, and we filmed that earlier, so that'll be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's time-consuming, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's something, too, just – I've even dropped the ball on that a couple times. Like, I'll schedule a guest for a Thursday night for that next Monday. Well, then mm-hmm. I'm getting him scheduled the beginning of that week, and then we get the podcast done, and I'm trying to get it edited and ready to post for the next Monday. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, it's Wednesday, and I haven't got a hold of anybody to get on for the next Monday. And then that's why partly sometimes it ends up like this, like where we're not – the episode's actually not dropping until like a Wednesday when mm-hmm. normally we try to shoot for Mondays. But it's just – I mean, it is what it is. You fight it when you're doing this kind of stuff. And like you said, it's something that people probably don't realize that it's a little more difficult than it seems like. And I'm not saying it's the worst job in the world or the most difficult thing to do, but there's mm-hmm. stuff that I think from the outside looking in, you probably don't think about.
Yep, I agree with you.
And obviously you guys have found that out. And you've been doing the podcast for, like, what episode are you on now with your guys' show?
So today would have been, I think 82 or 83. I don't remember off the top of my head. So we stopped there for a while. So I mm-hmm. Would have been either in 21 or 22. I don't remember. I started doing the podcast and we only made it to 20 episodes. And I was having a hard time finding time. I had like 3 weeks in a row where it was just me. And I hated that. I don't like it when it's just me. I always wanted mm-hmm. a guest of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't feel like I was putting enough time and effort into them. So I stopped doing them. And then when I met you at the Deer and Beer Fest last year and talking to you more about the podcast game, and, you know, we went back and kind of talked about it with some team members, and I'm like, man, we really need to get back in this game because there's a lot of behind the scenes, like, and you probably figured this out with your Fall Pursuit show this year. So a lot of stuff when it comes to our hunts that you can't tell in the vlog because maybe you didn't catch it on video mm-hmm. or there's just so much details. Like, if I put it in the hunt would be 8 hours long. Well, I obviously don't want that.
Right.
So the podcast is good for us to get behind the scenes and kind of talk about some of the stories within the stories. And then also I can now have other guests, which I have a lot of other first responders come on the podcast and kind of talk about their, you know, lifestyles and how the outdoors, what that means to them and how it calms them and stuff like that. And that obviously spreads our overall message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing that, like, for sure, when you're doing the show, like you said, you can't show everything. So mm-hmm. it is nice to have the opportunity to come in, like, especially if Nate has a good hunt or something, we'll bring him on. Mm-hmm. And then we'll either do it, like, as an intro before we do the guest, and we'll talk about kind of, like, what went on that you didn't see in the show. Or, like, a lot of times you can make a whole podcast episode out of just telling the stuff that you weren't able to show, like, for that week or whatever, or for that episode, or in that vlog video. If we don't have a guest, we'll just, like, basically talk about the show. We had one episode that came out last fall where I'd shot a deer and didn't find it, and then Nate missed one the next morning, and the episode was, like, 30 minutes long, but I still had to leave out so much stuff that, like, I did a whole podcast just on those two hunts the next week or whatever. So there is a lot of that. I think that's a benefit to having the podcast married up with your YouTube show.
Yeah, I agree. The definitely helps. I remember I listened to that podcast because, like, you know, you can say in your video, yeah, I've been looking for hours on this deer. I didn't find it. You know, I don't know what happened. Hopefully this deer lives, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, but on the podcast, you can actually talk about, well, I got permission from this neighbor. I got permission from this neighbor and so mm-hmm. forth. You know, I walked this many miles. Like, you can go into detail more than you can in that vlog episode.
Right. There's a lot of that stuff that in a video, like, it gets boring.
Yep.
If I'm just standing there in the woods telling you all of that stuff, as opposed to mm-hmm. in a podcast, like, that's what, like Dad said earlier, like, somebody's at work, they're throwing something in to listen to, then it's a little more, you know, reasonable. If they're sitting down to watch a video, they don't want to just hear you talk for 10 minutes about what happened. They want to see some action. They want to see what happened. And you can't always, like, you don't even always get everything on video that happened, you know, like, whether the camera was in a bad spot and you got caught with your pants down with the deer coming in, or or a battery died, or you're switching them out, or just stuff that you're not necessarily prepared for that happens, that you can say it on video, but you don't get to go into too much detail because it would just take too much time. And that's definitely a benefit to this.
Yep.
So your guys' this past season, I know you guys had a good season as a team. Your guys' videos are some of my favorites because I feel like you're a lot like us in that you show everything, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. You guys are going to show it, and I appreciate that. And you have a good group of guys. I feel like you have a good mix of different personalities and stuff like we do.
that's definitely true.
Yeah. And, for instance, and I can't remember his name, he missed that buck this year, and you could see in the video the bullet go flying off of the tree, and he thought he smoked him. And then your video, of course,
right?
When you missed that other buck and about 10 times, and then you ended up killing the bigger one. Like, that's the stuff that I enjoy watching, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I can appreciate
the real stuff. The real stuff.
It's relatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we
should. Everybody knows cops can't hit anything anyhow, so.
Ain't that the truth. You're not going to hear me say that.
Your quals aren't too strict on range.
Blank range.
Yeah, you just get closer and closer.
Exactly.
I've told everybody everybody who gets on the team, like, hey, guys, we're going to whatever happens, we're going to show. Like, mm-hmm. just keep that in mind. Like, if you're not comfortable with that, then you're not going to be on the team. Like, it is what it is, man. That guy who hit the tree this year, Kyle, mm-hmm. he actually is just got hired on at a police force. He was just a factory worker. He was the guy who made my logo and all that good stuff. Just good friend of mine. We played high school ball and all that stuff together. But anyway, that same buck he missed that year. So this buck, he's hunting his grandma's property. He's been after this buck all year long. He's got it, for the most part, pattern. He knows where his bedroom is. He just can't get on him. Well, he goes, he jumps him from his bed. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, I'm going to hang a tree stand right here. I'm going to come back and wait a week or two and on a good cold weather day, go mm-hmm. out there. So anyway, he does that. And this is like, you know, perfect, like November 5th, 6th, something right in prime time, you know?
Right, yep.
And, you know, he goes there, hunts till like 9 a.m., and he plans on doing an all-day sit. But he's like, man, I drank too much coffee. I got poop, you know? Like, I can't hold it. I got to get down. So anyway, he goes down, and he walks like 100 yards. Literally, his pants are around his ankles. And he looks up, and that buck is 20 yards looking at him.
Of course he is.
And he is telling us this story. I'm at work laughing.
Back to that stuff that you can't show on camera.
Nor would you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the fact that then shotgun season comes, firearm season, and he gets a redemption chance at the same buck and blows it. Like,
that's awesome. It,
yeah. Now that buck is still alive. He did get a trail cam picture of it. So if he can pull that off this year.
So,
the history he's got with that buck is nuts.
So have you guys offered any suggestions for names of that deer, like the Deuce Buck or anything like that?
We have to come out with a t-shirt for it.
That's awesome.
Having our own t-shirt with him. Yep. All that good stuff. But,
Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results.
Things are looking up for him this year. So this year, that guy, you know, last year he killed his first ever deer with a bow. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But then this year he has gotten married. He's killed the biggest wild hog of TBO's history. And then he just killed his first wild turkey. So
dang,
things are looking good for him this year.
Hot streak this year. Better not screw it up when October comes around. Yeah, huh?
He's pants yeah, around his ankles every year if you're careful.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. So what about the rest of the crew this year?
So all in all, as a team, we did have a really good year last year. You know, we killed a lot of animals on camera, which was nice. That was
what's that like?
Year where, I know, right? I know you and I've talked about it at the shows and stuff. I feel your pain when I go when I listen to your podcast and watch some of your videos.
Yep.
That I felt like that was us 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And like this year was the first year we kind of had some stuff buttoned up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of does on camera. We got a few bucks on camera. Unfortunately, our biggest buck we killed this year had a guy who he's in his 50s. He's never killed a big buck.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he killed a very nice solid deer, probably a 4-year-old deer, maybe five, but I would say four. And he scored, he was in the 140s. I forget what it was. He didn't quite make 150, but his biggest deer of his life. And of course, he did not charge his camera before going on the hunt.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but anyway, he had a great year. We got the recovery on camera and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super pumped for him. Again, just all in all, good year last year. This year, things are looking up already for us. You know, obviously we had the shows and then we already went hog hunting. Mm-hmm. I know you and I talked about it at the Iowa show. So if you guys haven't checked that out, give it a little plug. I would recommend at least watch our buddy get charged by a hog.
Yep.
He ends up shooting it like, I counted, I think 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, I think I seen that little show. I was on the shorts or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Man, the hog hunt's fun, guys. The hog, I can't say how much fun it is. And
the videos looked like it. That came through in the videos.
Yeah, it's just a wild, wild time.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to everybody too, we call it hog hunting. You know, it's redneck grocery shopping.
Right.
It was a high fence situation, but it's fun. The meat's good. I do recommend everybody goes on that.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to turkeys, so that's one thing I would say our team is kind of lacking in turkeys. Out of my 15 guys, only a few of us turkey hunt. I'm one of them, and then I have either 3 or 4 guys, mm-hmm. other guys that turkey hunt a little bit, which we got one down already this year. That video is actually upstairs downloading right now, so I can post it on YouTube.
That'll be
coming out Friday.
A little preview, early access.
Yeah, I know, right?
Information there.
Yeah, so that video will be coming out Friday. My buddy Kyle killed his first ever turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So he took him 3 years to get it done, but we finally got him a turkey. So super, super pumped for him.
Awesome.
And then I'll be hunting a little bit. I'm taking Nate out, third season. He's never killed a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if we can get the diabetic turkey or not. Yeah. And then I'll probably get a day or two in for myself, but the big hunt I'm prepping for right now is I'm going back to Canada to go bear hunting again. So
I'm super
pumped for that. Then obviously we have our whitetail stuff later on in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same outfit you guys have been going to up there in Canada that you were telling us about?
Yes. And I think unfortunately this will probably be his last year. So we got a pretty good gig. We've been spoiled up there. So his name's Sid is the outfitter we have. Great guy, but he is getting up there in age and has a lot of medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's been hunting with him since the 90s. And essentially, my dad's kind of become like his hired hand. He goes up there last 2 years now and helps them, runs the camp with them. And because of that, we get a pretty good deal on the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going up there. And like I said, unfortunately, I think this is going to be our last year with Sid, which sucks because he is a really good guy. But just his medical issues are catching up with him. But we have an absolute blast up there, man. This will be my fourth time going up with him, which I'm right now I'm 3 for 3 for bears. So if I can keep that streak going, I'll be happy.
There you go. You got to end on a high note for him if this is going to be last one.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yep.
It's going to be tough to beat since last year. Last year I killed my biggest bear.
Yeah.
He was right at 300 pounds. So he's going to be it's going to be tough to beat on that one. I'm staring at him right now. I got a rug made of him. I actually got it hanging from my podcast room just by a nail. I'm running out of space for the bears. I don't know.
Well,
my wife says I can't put it in the bedroom or in the bed. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, you gotta kind of think that over. Bears, wife. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, wife wins.
Absolutely.
What part of Canada are you guys going to for that?
So we're going to Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. So that's by Dryden is their nearest town. So if anybody's been up there, you go through Fort Francis, and if you keep going north, Ontario is like the next, I guess you can call it big city for them. It's not very big.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of where we're at right there.
Do you drive all that?
Yep. We drive. So we usually stop right before we get to the border at International Falls. This year though, we're going to drive all the way through. We know exactly where camp is this year. So a lot of times they switch in the, there's different bear units. So a lot of times we don't know where camp is.
Mm-hmm.
So until we get there, well, this year it's going to be it's going to be in the exact same camp. So since we know where we're going, we're just going to drive straight through. We got three drivers, so we can switch off. And obviously I get paid to drive for a living. Usually I'm driving for 8 hours anyway, so yeah. I'm kind of used to it.
Right. Yeah, that'll be a fun trip too. It'll be a lot easier with the three guys or whatever. That's huge when you're talking about a long road trip like that. So being able to at least sleep a little bit, especially if you're going to try to drive all the way through.
I think we're leaving at 4 a.m.
Put you there at what time?
6 or 7.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. So, yep.
That's not bad.
Depends how long the border cross, which we're not bringing any firearms with us because Canada's weird. Mm-hmm. We're going to be bringing our
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Yeah. But yeah, so it's weird, man. You go there and they're like, "What are you doing up here?" Well, we're bear hunting. Oh, where's your guns? Oh, no guns. We're bow hunting. Oh, okay, go ahead. Mm. Like that's all that easy.
About all they care about.
Yep.
So yes. Nate has a really good bear hunting story, and I think he's probably told it on the podcast, but I won't try to tell the whole thing because I'll butcher it. But basically, he was not 18 yet. And the group that he used to hunt with when he was in high school went up for a bear hunt. Well, he was going to go film them. And on the way into Canada, they just kind of let him go. His parents wrote him a note or whatever. They didn't have any issues. And then on the way back, they asked a lot of questions about why this 17-year-old kid was with these three grown men coming across the border from Canada. He got questioned in a room. I think 17-year-old Nate might have been a little bit nervous.
I bet.
Yeah.
They're probably nervous for him.
Yeah. So they could not figure that one out, I guess, at the border on the way back. He said they were way more concerned on the way into the United States than they were out of it. But
No. I'll tell you, though, that the only issues I've had at the border is our guys on the way back.
Yeah.
The Canadians, super nice. How you doing? Oh, did you have any luck? Oh, yeah, we got some bears. Oh, congrats. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the Americans, and it's either we go through smoothly or they ask you a whole bunch of questions and, you know, are grilling you. Like, hey, I'm American, too. What are we doing here? The Canadians are nice to us. What's going on?
Yeah, you flip the wallet open to show them your license. Oh, sorry, that was my badge.
Hey, you can't do that, though, to the Canadians because I don't know what they think of every United States cop, but if they find out you're a cop, the very first question they ask you, where's your pistol?
Really?
And when you tell them, I don't have it on me, they're like, no,
yeah,
we know you have it.
Yeah, you're freaking lying, right?
Yeah. I don't tell them I'm a cop until they completely ask me, man.
You don't want them to do a cavity search on you for your firearm there?
Yeah, I got a full-frame Glock up there.
Hey. I can appreciate that reputation as an American.
That's something
that they do not share with us. I think I don't think many Canadians are quite as bullish on their firearms, obviously.
No,
which,
not at all.
To me, that's crazy, though, how much of their economy is, like, outdoors and hunting related.
Oh, yeah.
All the crap regulations that they have and why they put up with all that, I don't know.
The road we take to Dryden, I forget that highway's name, but there's lakes everywhere up there, and the amount of money and boats that are getting pulled past me I'm driving past, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, and almost every single plate you see is American plate. So, the amount of money they got to be making off of us.
Yeah.
And yes, it's weird. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yep. So this is kind of off topic of what we've been talking about, but you're talking about going to Canada. Bucket list hunt for me is to hunt caribou in Alaska. Yep. So you got a bucket list hunt that you're going to do one of these days?
Ooh, so I got two. Okay. Speaking of the caribou hunt, I think my dad's actually going up this August.
No kidding.
I can't think of where he's flying into, but hunting the pipeline up there. And I forget what that herd's called. But he's been up to Alaska twice to hunt caribou. And somewhere he's got old VHS tapes when he went and did that hunt.
No kidding.
So I've always thought about, I've always thought about getting that digitized and putting that out.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
A throwback.
You gotta do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't have any of the shots and stuff on camera. It's just like the adventure itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's what got me into these big adventure hunts. I try to do kind of one a year. But anyway, I say I got two. Number one, Yukon moose.
Okay. Yeah.
Preferably with a bow.
I was going to say with a bow because you're a man.
Yep. Preferably with a bow. And then the next one, and my wife thinks I'm stupid, Kodiak brown bear.
That's not the only reason.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Kodiak
and I want to do that with a bow too.
With a bow.
I want to do that.
Man.
Yep.
Have you? I'm still, sure you've seen some of the videos of guys doing that with a bow and things going wrong.
Yes. But the problem is I can't get all the old grainy footage of Fred Bear on the island or on the beach killing one with a bow. And now I want to do it with a compound. I ain't going to do it with a recurve like he did.
Right.
But I don't know, something about that. And so again, this is back to where my wife thinks I'm stupid. I just started shooting a recurve, got into it, killed a hog with it and all that stuff. I think when I go bear hunting up here for black bear this spring, I think I'm taking my recurve and I'm going to hunt from the ground instead of being in a tree.
Might as well.
Yeah, you know, it might as well. So if I get eaten, you know, it's been nice knowing you guys.
Nah, but black bears won't eat you.
Yeah, they're pretty docile.
They may maul the hell out of you, but they won't eat you.
Yeah.
Now, Kodiak, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might eat you. But, yeah, I'd say those two. Those two are my dream hunts. I definitely want to do one day.
Yeah.
If I can afford them.
Right.
That'd be the trick.
That's the thing with me.
Just take overtime instead of comp time. You'll be fine.
Problem is to take a lot of comp for deer hunting.
Yeah. Guys got to keep his priorities in line, too. You can have goals, but you got to have fun along the way.
Exactly.
All of my bucket list hunts, or any of them, are with a bow. And I don't have anything against gun hunting, and the guys that do that or go out and hunt with high-powered rifles and shoot long distances, whatever. More power to them. It's just, to me, I like bow hunting too much. Right now, outside of turkeys, because I haven't got nearly good enough at killing those yet to try to make it more difficult on myself. So outside of that, like pretty much anything that I can hunt with a bow, that's the way I'm going to hunt it.
That is one animal that I think, and I actually posted a reel 2 days ago. I actually had people arguing back and forth. I don't know what it is, but turkeys deserve to get shot in the face with a shotgun.
Yep.
Don't have a bow. They need the shotgun. And I cannot. I've killed a whole bunch of animals with my bow now, but I cannot kill a turkey. It's impossible. For me anyway.
Right.
I cannot do it. Give me a shotgun, I kill usually very quickly. But I cannot kill one with a bow to save my life.
They're so frustrating. I agree. They deserve to be shot in the face with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've been chasing them the last, well, I've got this season. Tomorrow's my last day, and it's felt like 3 years this week trying to kill one, but we're going to give it one more go tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, if I was trying to do it with a bow, I'm not to that point yet. I'm still trying to shoot them with the shotgun. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153.
Yep, no, I'm with you. I don't know if I'll ever be to that point.
Yeah. That's like, and it sounds like maybe you'll be on this path soon enough, but the traditional archery or the recurves for deer hunting.
Yeah.
I still like shooting them with the compound bow for now.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do for deer hunting yet this year. I know I took the recurve to one of our local shoots last month, and almost, man, it was cold, rainy, and there was almost no compound shooters out there.
Really?
The guy I was shooting with, and I had my recurve.
Well, you recurve guys are more hardcore than us.
I guess, man, I don't know. It was weird. I didn't expect that.
Were you wearing your moccasins and your loincloth too?
No.
Your raccoon hat.
Yeah. I don't think I'm there quite yet. Give me another month or two. But I was talking to those guys, and I got a buddy who I grew up shooting bows with, and he's all about the recurve game. And he was laughing at me. He's like, "That's all you're going to be shooting here soon." He goes, "You'll put away that compound." He goes, "Once you start shooting recurve, you'll put it away." And I don't know if I'm there yet, man. When I get shooting the recurve so much, and when I pull out with the compound, I get some more. It's like shooting it is almost like shooting a rifle again. Mm-hmm. It's so fast, man. fast.
I just hate to have a booner walk by at like 35 and I can't do anything about it with my recurve. You know what I mean?
Not that there are
guys that can't do that, but I know I couldn't.
No, I am a 15 yard and in right now. And sometimes 15's a little far for me.
Right.
So that's another reason why I don't know if I'll be deer hunting with a recurve quite yet.
Right. I do think at some point, like maybe on a year where if I killed a buck that I was wanting to kill, or if I for, you know, some ungodly reason actually bucked out, then I might pick a recurve up and like maybe go try to shoot a doe on the ground. I do think that would be cool, and it would be cool video. Mm-hmm. But if I'm still hunting for a buck, I'm taking the compound for now.
Yeah,
at least.
Yep.
I'm not gonna never say never.
I like shooting recurve occasionally. I like small game rabbits, birds just for fun, things of that nature. I've never taken out deer hunting, but there is something to be said for shooting recurve. It's kind of, I don't know what. If you know, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. And I will say, if you guys ever get to go with me on this hog hunt, that's the place to bring the recurve.
I would take a recurve on a hog hunt. Yeah.
Yep. I feel like that's a good hunt to cut.
Especially if we got Kyle back behind us with a 9, you know, or a Glock.
I feel like that's a good place to cut your teeth on a lot of things. Like, because it's so, obviously, like you said, they're fenced in. So it's like target rich environment, right? So you're going to have an opportunity. So you, like, if you screw it up, you'll have another opportunity. Why not try something different, right?
Exactly. That's what, if you miss, like, we tell some of the new guys that we take down there, like, hey, if you miss, keep your chin up, like, give it another 5 minutes or coming back. Like, it's just a blast. I can't even explain. Like, the hog hunting is just crazy. You know, when we first went down there, it was going to be like probably a one-time thing, you know, maybe every couple years. We had such a good time down there where now we're booked up, you know, every year we know we're going back the same weekend. We just make it a yearly thing now. And, you know, we have a core group of guys who are usually going, but now we almost got like, we're almost having the opposite issue because we limit it to 10 guys.
Right.
Now we got so many people who want to go with us because they see the videos and stuff. And I'm like, hey man, like, first come, first serve. Like, as we got these guys, these 10 openings, and once they're filled, you know, that's it. And one guy, that's what sucks when somebody backs out and can't go with us. They know somebody's going to fill their spot, and they're not going to have a hard time getting back in with us.
Yeah, that's it looks like a blast to go down there and hunt those. And like on the high fence thing, I hold absolutely nothing against that for the hogs. Now, and not the the guys that come in and pay $15,000 to shoot a high fence deer that's like 300 inches, that doesn't do it for me at all. And I'm like, if they unload them out the truck and they shoot them over to you, like I have an issue with that. But
I 100% agree with you there. I will never do that. I have no desire to do that. Hogs, 100% I'll do that.
Yeah, but they're a nuisance anyway, and they're trapping them, and like they're wild pigs. They're basically just they're trapping them and putting them in a pen, right?
Yeah, we have a.
They're gonna kill them anyway. You might as well make it fun.
Exactly, and you know they're getting money down there from us, and they're good eating. Like it's a win-win. We have actually here in my area. There's a local. I won't name drop them, but there's a local ranch here that has elk on it. I know, and you can look up right there, like this elk will cost you this much money, this elk will cost you this much. And I know the taxidermist where all these elk would get taken to, and almost every single guy who killed an elk out there would tell the taxidermist, hey, if anybody asks, I killed these in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Almost.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm just, man, like, if you want to go do that and you're going to admit to it, that's fine. I don't care. Like, right. Hey, yeah, I killed this in Central Illinois in a high fence operation. Hey, if you're going to admit to it, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys who are purposely lying about it, that's what I didn't like.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you could be proud of that.
Exactly.
That's what I've heard, too. Like, a lot of these guys will, like, they'll fly in, they'll, and some of them, I've heard from people who have been around these operations or know people who have been, they'll literally just fly in, pay however many thousands of dollars, take a picture with this giant deer, jump back on a plane and fly out just so they can show people at their cocktail parties or whatever that they're some great white hunter like Jim Shockey or something. That to me is stupid.
Sounds almost like a detective sergeant job or something in the police department. I don't know.
Right? Yeah, I could. I see when we're off podcast, I could give you some names I know that have been up here. But yeah, it's kind of nuts. I don't get why people do it. Like two of my favorite hunts I've ever done, and they're on the channel. But I went elk hunting 2 years in a row. We didn't kill anything, but just being out west, trying it, and one was with my dad, and the next year I went with a group of buddies, all team members, and you know we had an absolute blast. You know. Challenge, like taking on the Rocky Mountains essentially, and yeah, we didn't kill anything, but those still to this day are two of my favorite hunts.
Do you go to Colorado?
Yep, Colorado.
Part of Colorado, do you remember?
So Steamboat Springs.
Steamboat Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I can't think of, I don't remember the unit name, but we're in the Steamboat Springs area. It was a blast. We, you know, when I went with my dad almost killed a cow elk. We had an either sex tag. Both of us did. He almost killed a cow elk, but he actually had some mule deer in between him and the cow elk. So he couldn't get any closer without spooking the mule deer, which would have spooked the elk. So,
right.
And he had a muzzleloader tag. They have I don't know what they're doing now because I heard they just changed some regulations in Colorado, but they have a muzzleloader tag in certain units that you can hunt during the rut, and it's only open for 2 weeks in September. So it took my dad 2 or 3 years to get that tag. And then I just had an archery, either sex tag. So he almost killed a cow elk that year. I almost killed a bear that year. I shot too high though. And then the year after that, when I went with my buddies, we almost killed a cow elk there too. They were 10 yards too far, either to come a little closer. And I could have had a shot, but it was fun, man. It was a blast. I definitely recommend, and I don't know if you guys see this, and I don't know how much like big adventure trips you guys have done, but I've been very fortunate and able to do these kind of hunts even before I started the brand. And I tell people like every time, like get out of your home state, wherever your home state is, go do something else. And a lot of people say, oh, I've always wanted to do this. I always want to do this, but I can't afford it or I don't have the time off. Well, no, you. If I start looking at their life, I usually, well, you can't afford it because you have a brand new side-by-side every other year.
Right.
You know? Or I got a buddy of mine who he has the newest bow every single year. How about you just save that money?
And go on,
big hunt. Yep, exactly. So usually you can find the time and the money if you really want to do it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of prioritizing. Yep.
Exactly.
I went to Durango, several years ago now, mule deer / elk hunting. with a buddy of mine, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We I've done all the planning to go on a trip and just haven't yet to Elk Hunt, Colorado. I did go to Arizona for a mule deer hunt. I guess that might have been COVID year, 2020, I think.
Okay.
But I was in a really good elk unit out there. It was one of the big draw units in Arizona, and I actually saw way more elk than I did mule deer and some really nice bulls. So it was a cool experience. I mean, I got on some deer, but I mean nothing huge. But it was, like you said, it's just get out there and do it. Same thing like we were talking about with the podcast thing. Like, well, how do I do it? Well, say that you're going to do it. Hold yourself to that. Save the money. Make the time. Take the vacation days or whatever it is. Put in for them. Save your sick days. Whatever you got to do. And go make it happen.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be an Alaskan caribou hunt to start out. You know, you could go... Go hunt turkeys in Nebraska or something, or even Kentucky, or go do a deer hunt down there, or a hog hunt in Texas. Like, just do something, and I think for a lot of people, that probably gets them hooked on that kind of stuff, and then you really decide that you're going to do it, and you go and do those other hunts that you've always wanted to do.
Yeah, there's some fairly cheap hunts out there. Like, this bear hunt I go on is kind of expensive just because of the outfitter fees you have to do with Canada, but like, one of my favorite hunts, and I've only done it once, but I tell everybody, like, it's a really good beginner hunt, and it's fairly easy, is I went pronghorn hunting in Wyoming. And this would have been in 2018. It would have been the year before I started filming. We went out to Wyoming, and that tag, I think it's like, back then, I don't know, it might be more now. I think it was like $300, and you can camp on public land right there, so it's just gas money and food then. And with Wyoming, these pronghorns, they're always running. Like, it's a game-rich environment. So if you blow a stalk on one, and I was hunting them with a rifle that time. It was in October. Like, just stay there or go back to the truck and wait. Like, more antelope are coming. Like, you're going to see more. And, you know, my dad and I that went, and we both, on the second day, we both killed antelope 30 minutes from each other. So like it was a blast. And that's in a fairly cheap hunt. I always tell people to go on.
And even like what I was gonna say about the like you're talking about the guy that buys the new bows every year, you just take the money from one new bow anymore and you can do an over the counter elk hunt in Colorado. Like,
You're looking over $2,000 if you buy a bear bow, flagship bow, and then you buy the sights and the new arrows. Like, you're easily looking over $2,000. So right there, I mean, that $2,000 will pay for the bear hunt that I'm going on.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, but you can go on all kinds of hunts for that.
We've talked about it before, but I'm shooting a bow from 2011. I like some of the new ones. I would like to upgrade, and Dad's is from 2002, probably, or 2003, you know. It's like, you find something that works and you like it and you're comfortable with it. Like,
nothing
that,
wrong with it.
That
I would suggest... You might want to upgrade your rest.
Yeah,
your arrow rest this year.
You're talking about him on the squeaky one, aren't you?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Hey, I got some felt for that thing.
By my house. I laughed so much when you posted that video, man.
All that is a built-in stopper, so you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, it worked. Perfect.
Yes, it did. I knew she was going to hear it, and I knew she was going to stop because it was dead quiet. So that's why I drew when I did. I'm like, I just hope she doesn't bolt. She just stays.
It's your podcast. You say whatever you want.
Call me a liar if you want. That's what happened.
It worked. That's all you can
it
say.
It did work. It did work.
Yeah.
So, and we finally got a bow kill on camera. So it was worth it.
Yeah. As you know now, like, self-filming's tough.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's out of a blind on a tripod, too, which is, like, I would much rather be in a tree with a tree arm if I'm self-filming. Because that stuff in the blind with a tripod is, like, I just always feel like they're going to come out where I can't get the camera on them and shoot them at the same time.
Yeah. No, that's tough. Yeah, I agree with you. I have a blind that's really good for firearm season here in Illinois, and that's the toughest thing about it is where the deer come out. I have a hard time getting my camera over there, just because they come out of a weird angle every time. But I'm worried about facing my turning my blind a little bit, because every now and then they do come from a different spot. So yeah, I get that. And that's where, if you get a guy to film for you or you're filming him, it is a lot easier.
Oh, so much easier. I would, 10 times out of 10, give me somebody, either I'm running the camera for them or they're running the camera for me. As long as, hopefully Blake's listening to this, as long as they don't use the autofocus in the timber. Hey, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode. If you don't already, go over to Instagram and Facebook and give us a follow at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group called Ridge Hunter Nation where you guys can have some input on the show. You can ask us questions. You can ask upcoming guests questions. You can tell us who you want us to have on and what you want us to talk about. And on top of all that, just use it as a regular hunting group. Share your stories, your success, pictures, your failures, whatever it is. That's all at Ridge Hunter Nation on Facebook. Our website is RidgeHunterOutdoors.com. That's where you're going to find more info on the consulting and management services that we provide. We also have the podcast posted on the website with some other content as well. And we have our merchandise and our food plot seed. And if you find any of that stuff that you want, make sure you use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. And you get 10% off your entire order there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that lets you do so, make sure you rate and review. That helps us, and give us a follow there too. YouTube, our channel is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can subscribe to that. Hit the notification bell so you know when everything comes out. The podcast will be posted there, as is our Fall Pursuit show, which we'll have more of coming up next season. You guys can go back and rewatch everything that we did this year. We had 10 episodes on that. We're hopefully going to do some turkey hunting this spring. And, of course, we'll have all our off-season content on YouTube as well. So thanks to everybody who already does follow and subscribe. If you don't, make sure you go do that. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, I laughed at that video too, man. I was just like, I think I audibly went, "Oh no!" Like right before he shot, when I saw it happen.
He did like, too. He did too.
Yeah, you can hear him say, "Oh no!"
And Nate, it was like a 45-yard shot. Nate thought he hit the thing low or something because he didn't really see what happened, and all he heard was, "Oh no!" And he was like, "What did I do?" Little did he know, you just couldn't see it on camera.
Yep.
But that's part of it. It's been fun learning all that stuff, and now we got stories from our first year that we'll tell in 10 years from now, hopefully, when we're we're still doing the show. But
I'm excited to see you guys this season too, man. I thought, honestly, and I'm not just trying to toot your own horn since I'm on your podcast, but I thought for you guys this first year of filming, man, you guys did a really good job. Like I enjoyed it. I know a lot of my team members watched it all too. You know, it was good to see a good group of local, like somewhat local, and us all in Illinois, you know, filming and watching it. And it's nice to see too, like, even though we're several hours apart, like a lot of times if we were having a, you know, hot weather, you guys, I could see you guys having the same weather issues we were having. And then when you guys are having really success because there's a cold front coming through, we're experiencing a lot of times the same thing. It's kind of cool to see that feedback from each other.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And hopefully we'll do, you know, even better coming up this year. But that's one thing I did want to do with, like, the semi-live thing was, if you're in a reasonable distance, like, you're probably going to be seeing the same stuff. So, like, it gives guys an opportunity, maybe, if they don't have a lot of days off or the ability to be real flexible and they have to use their certain days, maybe they can watch and say, okay, hey, you know, things are heating up. Maybe I'll use my vacation days coming up this next week or something. So, hopefully there's some benefit to that as well.
I agree.
It's you know, with semi-live, it's not like I'm waiting a whole year to put it out, which I don't think I could do. If we killed a nice deer, I don't know how those guys hold out for a whole year of putting out video. And I don't know, you guys don't do that, do you, or do you?
No, so what we usually do, and actually we're kind of reamping it. So what I usually do is I do the semi-live vlogs, and I try to do one vlog a week. Which, man, that was tough when I was by myself.
Oh, yeah.
Where I only had a couple guys. But now, like, the last 2 years, you know, we've had 10-plus guys, so that made it a lot easier. We actually, this year, I actually kind of got behind because we had a streak in October where in 1 week we had, like, 3 or 4 deer kill. And I try to make every kill a new episode. Well, heck, I'm a month behind then. So there for a while, we were actually doing 2 episodes a week, which – was good, but then also put me in the editing mode a lot more. because I'm the only editor when it comes to our long form content here. Mm-hmm. So that, and obviously with the vlogs, like very raw, like I'm not going in and color grading them or anything like that. I'm right. just cutting them up and getting them out there. But then like this fall, we always try to do like some kind of series. You know, we had 2 years ago, I called it Breaker of the Mold series. We had two big bucks get killed. We had our elk hunt and some other stuff. So like I made a little 4-part series. Mm-hmm. And then last year, I forget what I had the series called. To me, I didn't like it as well. I didn't like have the ways I wanted it done. Now this year, I think I have it more focused. And so we'll have a fall series right before deer season. So it'll either be August or September.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be highlighting our seasons and kind of tell more of the story of the first responders. So instead of focusing on, you know, like we're not one of those guys who like name deer and like focus on the deer. Like, hey, this is the deer's 5-year story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just don't have that kind of history with deer, nor do a lot of my team members. And
right.
personally, I don't think I can tell that story better than like a Lee Lukowski or something from the Crush. You know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. if you want that kind of content, you should go watch those guys because they do a really good job.
Right.
Well, you know, what we're known for is first responders. So I want to tell the stories of like, hey, here's a local deputy. You know, he's been hunting now for, you know, his whole life waterfowl hunting. But now he's in the last couple of years, he's turned into deer hunting. You know, he's got a new family now at home. How's he going to adapt to hunting this year? And how did his season play out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we have, you know, hey, we have this paramedic. You know, he just had this, you know, crazy night of work. He decided to go jump in a tree stand, kill the biggest deer of his life. You know, I want to tell those stories of hunting and first responders together. And that's where the series will kind of tell that story this fall. That's the plan anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
You kind of add the human interest rather than telling the story of a specific deer.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that mm-hmm. works well for like what your guys' overall mission is or whatever too. That I think that mm-hmm. aligns really well with what you're trying to do. So, and on that note, like what do you see for the future with Thin Blue Line? Like where are you guys headed?
Well,
it's kind of a loaded question, but
I know there's so much more that could go. Honestly, man, if you told me I was going to be sitting here today with you know, 15 team members over 3 states. I mean, I would have called you a liar.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing, man, if I can just get more first responders into the outdoors, and if I could get, you know, I don't know if we'll get there, man, but if I could get like almost like a team member in at least all of Midwest, maybe even like all 50 states, that'd mm-hmm. be awesome. By then, though, obviously, like stuff will have to change. I can't edit everybody's film with that many.
Right.
That many.
Right.
That many hunts, which I already got some stuff in the works. Hopefully some guys helping me with editing and stuff. But yeah, man, I just number one thing is keep doing what we're doing. You know, we're having fun. Like it's not a chore for me to do this yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying it. And again, just getting more first responders in the outdoors. And whether that's, I already got some guys lined up for next year for turkey hunting. I got some guys who want to go on the hog hunt. I don't know if I can pull that off yet. And I already got like, I think 2 or 3 new guys that they're not going to join the team or anything. They're just new hunters getting them into the deer woods this year.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if I can take by myself anyway, 2 or 3 guys, get them in the outdoors every year and keep doing that. And plus my team members are doing that as well, man, that we're going to have a whole bunch of first responders in the outdoors. And I think that'll be great.
Yeah. That's a good thing no matter what you're doing, if you're filming mm-hmm. it or not. So you yep. got, this will be your time to plug anything you want to plug. You got, tell people where they can find you, tell people where they can find the Thin Blue Line Outdoors and whatever else you want.
Absolutely. So, we're on all social media. We're the Thin Blue Line Outdoors, real easy. Mm-hmm. Just whether it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever, just type that in. You'll see us. Make sure you put the on Facebook. There's an old The Thin Blue Line Outdoors that hasn't been active for years. I don't know who owns that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, make sure you'll see our logo, just click on that. You'll see us. Our main content is on YouTube. We do short form on everything as well. But again, YouTube's our big long form content.
Mm-hmm.
During deer season, I put out a weekly deer hunting vlog. This time of year, we're kind of more sporadic. Obviously, there's less things to hunt and stuff. And I'm trying to make content entertaining for you guys. But definitely check us on YouTube. Check us out on the website. We have all our merch on there. We make all our merch in-house. If I had Nate here, man, he could really sell it to you guys. Uh-huh. You'd be buying everything.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, we'd already have our credit cards out if you'd had Nate on the show.
Exactly. But yeah, no, check us out on the website. That'll give you links to everything, our podcasts and such. And then we're also going to be at the Illinois Deer and Beer Show, along with Ridge Hunters here. So super excited to be back. I think this year is going to be even bigger than last year.
Yep.
After talking with Cole. So I think I'm really excited for this year. So come see us. I don't remember what booth we're going to be in. I'm going to be right next to Mr. Rub, though. So come see us. And then the last thing I'll plug is, and this will be at, hopefully, the Deer and Beer Show. We are coming out with our new coffee. We partnered up with Our Grounds Coffee Company. We're going to have our own roast. If you guys know me, I love coffee. I can't get enough of it. So come see us there. We'll have our own roast. And, again, super excited to see everybody, and I hope everybody has a good deer season.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you, like I said, on short notice, taking the time out of your evening to stop by with us. But
hey, one thing, Cody.
Yeah.
I give you guys a lot of crap for being cops and everything. Nothing but respect for you guys. I appreciate you playing here, along, and honestly, nothing but respect for what you guys do. So just wanted to let you know that, man.
I do appreciate it, and that same to you guys. I love talking crap to firefighters.
It's the back and forth is fun, dude.
Oh yeah, if you guys, we're the same way with our local agency. We'll be on calls and you know make jokes with them. We had just a lift assist the other day, and I showed up and had to tell the firefighters, "Don't worry, your hero's here."
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. No, it's all love.
I appreciate you playing along, man. Really
oh,
do.
Oh yeah. I look forward to the pranks this year at the show.
Yeah. What? I don't know what you mean.
Why, whatever do you mean?
Yeah. All right, man. Well, again, thanks for coming on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again sometime. We'll get some of your team members on here, too. And
sounds good, man.
It'll be good.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, man. See ya.
Yep, have a good one. Bye.